Welcome to On the Mark, a podcast series that explores the effects on various businesses of the COVID pandemic. Previously, we had a series that spoke about how companies were coping during the pandemic. Today, we're doing a series, or we're doing one in a series, on how companies have adapted and how COVID has affected how they're doing business in the future and the long-term effects. In my mind, this has been a once-in-a-generational event. Nothing in my lifetime that I can remember has changed the way globally people do business and interact with each other as this pandemic, coupled with the technology and the use of technology and coping with it. It is truly a once-in-a-lifetime event. I am your host, Howard Mark Rubin, and this podcast series came as a result of my realization that we were in a life-changing event, and it would be helpful to explore how different businesses are affected. Some were helped, some were hurt. Some adapted well, some didn't adapt so well. Some went out of business, and some thrived. It had such a diverse effect. I'm interviewing people in different industries and seeing how it affected their industry. This series is sponsored by the Strategic Forum, which was founded in 1999 in New York City and expanded in 2004 to South Florida. It's an organization consisting of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who believe in forming deep business and personal relationships based on mutual respect and trust and continual learning and intellectual enrichment. Current membership of the Strategic Forum represents a diverse group from public and private business and organizations. I'm excited to have with us today, I think he's, if he's not a member of the forum, I think he's going to be shortly. His name is Sal Leone. Sal is a partner in the accounting, and I guess we call it accounting and business advisory firm. Accountants are no longer just accountants, they're business advisors, and that's what they do. The firm of Citrin Koopman, which is one of the leading accounting firms, and I'll include business advisory, because we want to make sure that that's included too, in not just in the New York City area, but they've become more of a national presence, I think, in, as they've grown probably more than any other accounting firm that I know of over the last 10 or 15 years. Sal is an audit and tax partner in the New York City practice, and he's co-practice leader of the Business Advisory Solutions practice. He has over 15 years' experience providing tax and advisory services. He specializes his focus serving clients in the construction industry, as well as closely held the medium-sized businesses in the manufacturing, staffing, wholesale, and distribution industries. He's a member of the firm's executive committee and co-chair of the construction committee. He has a wealth of experience advising clients in the construction sector. I know that because he represents many of my law firm's construction clients, and they're all very happy with him. With a deep expertise in overall profitability enhancement and job profitability analysis, he provides management with strategies for saving money and boosting efficiency on construction jobs. His expertise extends to areas of expense minimization, reducing tax liability, and year-end tax projection and planning. That's enough. I read enough of that, Sal. I got enough. It's all on, if you want more, go to the Citrin Koopman website, where it praises Sal to the hilt. You can see his picture. He's a very good-looking guy, by the way, so you might want to take a look for that. So, Sal, welcome to On the Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Howard.
Okay, so really, you know what we're talking about is how businesses have adapted to COVID and you know, how successful they are in that adaption. And what you do as a business advisor, you're dealing with a lot of industries in construction and distribution and manufacturing. Which industries do you think it was the most difficult to adapt to COVID and to make changes?
I would think, you know, being an accountant, seeing all the various different industries, the one that's really that I feel passionate for or is the construction industry. I feel like the industry was a very difficult industry to adapt, because they were in the middle of pretty significant contracts. And as we all know, the world kind of stopped at that point in March of 2020, where, like, we all want to try to forget. For them to be uncertain about their future and where those jobs were going to end was a significant problem. And the fact that there was a ton of social distancing, and all the requirements that they had to adhere to over the next couple of weeks of when we got a better understanding of what this pandemic was about, that really kind of gave them a little bit more hesitancy because, as we all know, especially you and I do, as it relates to the construction industry, you know, they need to go on elevators. They're tight as sardines on this elevator, and it's very tough to social distance. So they had to adjust pretty significantly as it relates to doing work and how the work gets done, especially in such a small, compact space. And that's all throughout a building or whatever it is that they're building. So I think from an accounting, or from an advisor standpoint, not an accountant, an advisor standpoint.
Let's talk as an advisor. Forget the account. You can count.
So from my perspective, you know, when the pandemic happened, I felt, you know, obviously uncertain, but I felt like I needed to kind of make sure that my clients knew or our clients knew that we were there for them, that we were always going to support them from a tax perspective, from an accounting perspective, but more importantly, understanding what government assistance was out there. And at the time, PPP 1 and PPP 2 was pretty popular. And it didn't stop there. There was a whole other slew of things. So our firm's position was to kind of pivot and really not focus on the tax for 2021 and the audit stuff that was history, is really, really focused on the needs at the time of those clients. And from our standpoint, we kind of created a team internally of like 10 to 15 people for the firm nationally. And we are a national firm. We're headed here in New York City market, but we have a significant mid-Atlantic presence, as well as offices in California, Chicago, Florida, and a few others, I'm sure, that I failed to remember. So we wanted to make sure that we gave one message to our clients, and we were on top of the government assistance. We were on top of all that stuff. And we're continuing to do that because there's still programs that are out there, one of which is the employee retention credits. A lot of clients or a lot of prospects don't think they're eligible until we peel back the onion and get a better understanding because some of their advisors or accountants are kind of sticking away from it or staying away. So I think it gave us an opportunity to kind of look better than our competition and really, really develop strong ties and relationships with our clients during the time and continuing on till now. Because obviously those pain points are still in effect. You know, doing work these days in the construction industry is not as it was prevalent. Obviously, interest rates have gone up, inflation has skyrocketed. So the industry is experiencing a little lull at the moment with jobs being pushed, jobs being stopped, and a lot of contractors sort of in limbo. So we continue to advise and try to help them strategically getting through this period until it starts turning around, hopefully soon.
So let me talk about Citrin Cooperman for a minute, your firm. The way that you interacted with the client and advised the client pre-COVID, is that different in the way that you interact or the type of services you provide in a post-COVID world? In other words, are some of these changes permanent? Was it just the pandemic and the pandemic is over, we're going back to business as usual? Or are there, do you interact with clients a different way in post-COVID world?
Well, as you mentioned, from my perspective at the partner level, I feel like I have not changed. If anything, I've been able to develop stronger ties. What has changed since the pandemic is really the way the work is being done now. You mentioned technology. Hard to get people back into the office 5 days a week, 4 days a week. We're trying to push for 2 days a week. And at that time, even with 2 days, it's a little tough to get people back. And everyone has their thing. And what we tried to do is try to work around their schedule, work around what they want to try to, you know, help them so that they can help us. And technology has played a really key factor. I think, you know, we were moving towards like a Microsoft Teams environment. Actually, they, you know, hooked it up or installed it on my computer like maybe a year before the pandemic, and I never used it. I didn't even know how to use it. I didn't even know what it was about.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the pandemic happens, and we're all everyone's using Teams, and it's now it's like it comes second nature. Right. So I think the one of the temporary, I don't know if you want to call it permanent, is, you know, working, being able to adapt and work with people in a work from home environment virtually as opposed to being in the office. In my opinion, and my opinion only, for the people that do not want to come back to the office at least 2 days or 1 day, I feel like maybe they're doing themselves a disservice, because I believe, especially from a public accounting advisory standpoint, when you're seeing people and you're interacting with people around the the water cooler and you're just kind of like passing them by, I think there's a social aspect to that, especially when you're working with them, to kind of pick things up. And even from my perspective, you know, we have many things going on. When you see somebody, it kind of ticks your memory and kind of says, you know, jogs your memory. Oh, you know, how's that thing going on? How's that project? Where do we stand? And it kind of like, it develops a kind of social relationship or a social visibility type thing with some of the people that you work with. When they're working from home, you don't know what they're doing. As an example, like when tax extensions or tax return filing season came around March 15th, April 15th, we had staff members in the office for the most part. I think this year was better than prior years. I think we're moving in that direction. So, you know, normally you would have to assign somebody to do the work and get that, you know, those returns done or tax extensions done. And when they're in front of you, you don't know if they're available. Like, well, when they're not in front of you, you don't really know who's available, what they're doing. But when they're in front of you, I have like, you know, a staff one just started. He sits outside my office and he said, he just came into my office. He's like, do you need any help? I have some availability. I mean, and I, you know, there was a ton of things that I said, you know what? It's great that you did, because I do need help. And here it is. And we were able to develop a pretty good relationship to kind of like work together. And now he kind of does that regularly. So he's kind of seen that when you're working from home or virtually, it's very tough to kind of get that social or visibility of people. You don't really know.
Do you find it? I find it, you know, we're in different fields. I'm doing law, you're doing accounting or business advisory, but it's basically we're in the service business. Do you find it a generational difference? I find that younger attorneys, and I'm talking about just younger accountants, younger attorneys aren't as interested or motivated to make partner. They're not as interested in making the most amount of money. They're more interested in being happy.
Correct.
And they're more interested in being having a work environment and having the flexibility of not coming in. And if that means they're not going to make partner, well, it's okay. I find that frustrating, because I'm looking for the next generation in my firm, and I know your firm is growing, and I can't get these people motivated. And I think that COVID has had a negative effect that's going on past COVID. They've kind of evaluated their life and decided that there are more important things than making money and working, and that's just a secondary thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I believe that, you know, I think the COVID era of working home gave them the ability to be home with their family, kids, if they have young kids, and I'd have three young kids, and sometimes I'd rather not be home than be in the office. So in my opinion, that's my opinion. Now, but when the kids get a little older, and I'm experiencing that now, and they have sports, you know, going to a soccer practice at 4 p.m. while you're working in the city when you live in central New Jersey is not really that possible. So, you know, fortunately enough, we have some, my wife helps and my mother-in-law helps a lot as well too. So fortunately enough, that kind of helps out. But to your question, I feel as though that was correct about a year ago, year and a half ago. I feel like, you know, they didn't really care about making partner, but I find they do want to make money. Like, they do want to get paid. I think inflation is really affecting people's lives and they want to make money, but sometimes they don't necessarily do want to work the way we worked to make that money. And I feel that we need to adjust to kind of work their schedule around their schedule, and try to understand what their goals are and sit down with them and let them know that, you know, there are other options to kind of navigate, and you don't have to work like the way we worked. Maybe understanding the leverage model. And that's an issue that we're working through at my firm is, you know, it's always so easy that the senior accountant or the more experienced accountant just does it because it's a lot easier, you know, instead of sitting down 5 minutes, 10 minutes and teaching somebody. It's so easy. So that middle managers, supervisors, that experienced people are getting inundated because they're kind of saying, well, I'll just take care of that. It'll take 5 minutes. And I'm trying to explain to them that's not the right approach. What we have to do is we have to push the work down, teach these lower level staff what to do, what needs to do. Because you can't grow when you're doing all the work yourself. You have to manage the process, and you got to manage it pretty well. And that's why what we're trying to do, at least my goal in the business advisory group, is to basically create the better leverage model that the partners should not be doing all the work. They should really be partners overseeing the accounts, making sure that the clients are getting what they need so that they're not bogged down with doing a lot of the work and it's being passed down to the lower level people. So I think it's like twofold. I think it's really it's really an interesting time because it seems like everybody has their hands out to make money. But then when you ask about the work product and what they want to do, it's not as if, like, they're on top of it. So I don't know what the issue is. I think the pandemic really took a toll on a lot of people and really got people spoiled the way they were working. Cause you know, when you're working from home, it's easy to just shut the computer off at 5:30 or 5 o'clock or even 4 o'clock. Cause nobody really sees you. Nobody saw you. But when you're in the office and you notice people staying of with other people within your group, well, that person stay until 6:30, and you're leaving at 5:30. It's sort of like a little bit of a walk of shame. It's like, well, you know, one day and 2 days, it's like, well, everybody else is working on, how come you? And I think the office environment gives you that, work way. I just feel like maybe people are shy of doing that, and that's why they don't want to come to the office. So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting time. It'll be interesting to see how it continues to play out. Obviously, economy's changing. Businesses are suffering. Interest rates are going up. You know, in a world where jobs were so easy to get, they might be still easy to get, but I think it's slowing down, not as the way it was. So I think the adjustment will potentially happen in the next near future, in the next couple months, to see how it all plays out when, you know, accounting firms are not just willing to throw all this money at, you know, 2 year or 3 year experienced staff. When that starts to change, I think the pendulum will switch, and it'll switch to the employer side a little bit more than the employee side. Cause I feel that that has a lot to do with the employee mentality, is that they understand that if they lose their job, they can just go down the block and find a competing firm, and they'll hire them for probably more money than we were paying them. So I think that kind of gives us a little pause on trying to push people too far, which isn't fair, right? So it'll be interesting when the things start slowing down and the pendulum switches to our benefit or the employer's benefit, to kind of see how the lower level and the people that were so gung-ho about working from home, where they don't have a job and they can't find a job, they're going to be willing to do a lot more than what they were doing.
When you evaluate people for promotion, whether it be to manager or partner or whatever, has the criteria changed? Have you changed what you're looking for? Because, as you said, if people are working from home, you don't know how hard they're working. I guess they put in hours, because a lot of it's hourly stuff. But it used to be, to make a partner in a small law firm like ours, there was a lot of criteria. First, you had to bring in business. You had to be out there in person, not virtually.
Still hasn't changed.
that part hasn't changed.
Bringing in business has not changed.
Well, but it's changed in the people willing to do it and whether they're willing to do it. To me, that was always a critical part, I would think, for most people to become a partner. And you're not a small firm anymore. You're now a bigger firm, but I'm still a smaller firm. You know, that doesn't seem to be doing anymore. What's the criteria that you use now? When I say you, I mean Citrin Cooperman, to promote people.
Yeah, so you know, in the past, I feel, you know, the firm was promoting because we felt like that was a little bit more necessary to get to keep people, to want. Our adjustment or pivot is, well, we need to understand what the goals are for this person, what they do, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. And bringing in business obviously helps a lot. Them being able to manage teams is extremely important. And also another...
Can you manage teams virtually?
Or well, it's very tough. Very, very tough. And I think when you're managing a person that doesn't have any experience and you're sitting on a call with them for hours at a time, and I don't think you could. And I think those lower level team members, they're going to suffer in the long run because they're not getting that one-to-one hands-on experience of like, this is the way you do it. Let me show you. So I think, you know, the promotions, you know, it's a little dynamic. The firm has gotten to a large scale, but I feel like although we are at a large scale, we're a large firm, we do have a small firm touch because we're a conglomeration of a lot of smaller firms just built into a pretty significant resource with a lot of different service lines that we're able to provide those same clients that they were under that small. So I think, so although our criteria hasn't really changed much, but I think somebody that's going to compete for a promotion, you know, that's working from home, or that person's working from home and the person's in the office, I think we're going to push towards the person that's in the office that we can kind of, that we interact and see and socialize a little bit more than the person that's just home. During tax season this past year, this March or April, whenever it was, there was a group of people in our office where we'd say we'll work late. And me being the group leader, I said, well, why don't we bring in lunch? Why don't we bring in dinner? Why don't we sit down and take a conference room? We got food from Tony DiNapoli's and we ordered it and we sat around the table. Like it was like 5 to 10 people. And we just spoke, took a break from the work that we were doing. And this was at like 7 o'clock at night. And we were able to kind of like build that rapport within the office. And if there were more people there, I would have done it for more people. But unfortunately, there's not really that many people at that time. So building that rapport with people, especially your superiors, I think gives you the ability to kind of build that relationship so that when, you know, your superior feels like they're comfortable with your social skills and having that one-to-one interaction, I think it gives a comfort level to the people that have the job to promote people to, you know, to that next level. So,
and where do you see your firm and firms providing those type of services being in 3 to 4 years from now? In other words, will things go back to the way they were before with less virtual? Is this a continuing trend? Where do you think this is all headed?
I think it will be a continuing trend, but I think it will go back to somewhat of the way it was, not as prevalent as it is now. I think there will be an adjustment at some point in the future. Where I think, but there's still be flexibility. Me personally, I don't think anybody would be coming in on Friday, which, you know, coming in on Friday today wasn't a bad thing because I left my house and I got here like in 40 minutes, which is unheard of during the week, right? So I think it will continue. I think it's given the ability to kind of understand that, oh, you know what? I can work from home. But on the opposing side, it's like, you know, I work from home on Saturday morning when I'm up early, oh, let me just go on my laptop and start working. So there's a counter to like wanting to work from home and having the ability. Because in the past, when pre-pandemic, I didn't know how to work. I mean, I didn't have two screens in my office and the ability just to plug my laptop in and have the ability to kind of work in the office. Now I do. So sometimes it's like, well, you know what? If I need to do something, I'll make it up on Saturday, which is kind of cut into like the quality of life, right? Because people want to have quality of life and not work as many hours. But when you're needing to get something done, and I'm at fault for that because it's like, well, you know, when my kids are sleeping and everybody's sleeping and I'm up at like, you know, the times that I wake up in the morning, it's like, well, what do I do? I mean, let me just turn on the laptop and see if I need to kind of get something done. So I think it will continue. I just don't think at the level that it is right now, I think.
And let's talk about your clients for a minute. Which industries that you service do you think are going to be fundamentally long-term change. Now, I wouldn't think construction, because construction projects are going to have to be done.
You can't build a home.
Right. You can't build do that
building
virtually.
From
right. You can't do that from home. But what industry, because I know you service a lot of industries, not just the construction industry, that's probably your main focus. What industries do you think are going to be doing the most adapting that's going to be a long-term fundamental change?
I think the tech industry. I think tech industry, even though I don't really service that, I speak to the leaders there. I think that's kind of like turning into like a fully virtual session where they're not taking on office space. They're giving the ability to people to kind of work from home. I think even companies during the pandemic, they said, you know what, no one's coming in. We're going to shut down the office. And we just recently did a pretty big deal with a firm, and that firm would give, you know, their staff members full rein to work from home 5 days a week, not come to the office. And to be at the surprise, like shocking for me, once they merged into us, they want to come in. These people wanted to come into the office. They want to interact. So like, you know, as much as it's so easy to shut the office and kind of cut cost, sometimes having that camaraderie with the employees gives you the ability to kind of build a better morale. Like a better morale where, you know, sometimes you're working from home. You don't really know what the other people are thinking because you don't see them, and you would have to call them, you don't really pass them by. So I think it builds a little bit more of like a work morale environment. And, you know, I was walking out of the office last night at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and we're in Rock Center. So I walk out.
Beautiful inside. Offices, by the way. Not that full of people, but it's beautiful offices there.
So we walk outside, and yesterday I forgot how great it was because I was in the office all day. I might have just grabbed lunch quick. Right. And I walked outside, and I looked over, and City Winery is like right outside of my office. This was jam-packed. I mean, it was beautiful. And most of the people, I saw some of the people from my office, like the younger got together and were just having drinks. You can't really do that when you're working from home by yourself. One, most likely, if you're working in the suburbs, you don't have a City Winery that's outside. So like building that rapport with your coworkers gives you the ability. So it's back to the question about what industry. The tech industry, at some point, it will come back to wanting to go back to the office, because I feel like the employees do want to come somewhere, maybe not 5 days, but they want to come to a place where they're kind of away from the day-to-day work from home, in my opinion.
I just don't think it's healthy for people to be so isolated, to be at home. I think that the, some people don't have families. They're home, they're isolated, they're alone. It results in depression. It results in just a disconnect. And, I'm of the impression that I'd like to see the world at least go back a few steps, that there's more mandatory coming in, more people getting together. I mean, I used to go to a lot of conventions. I don't know if you went to conventions, but we used to go to conventions. Now conventions are not that popular anymore. People can go on the screen and do it.
But I feel that it's not. But so I'm very active in construction and financial management. I'm on the board here in New York City. And they were doing their virtual sessions, but now they're starting to push that there isn't a virtual option. You want to come? You pay, you come, you network, you meet people. So it was like that, I think, in the heart, maybe a little even after, probably. But now I think a lot of associations want their people back into the city, back to see face-to-face. I just think you get a lot more out of meeting a person than just sitting virtually.
So you think the pendulum is swinging back?
That's a good thing. I think slowly. I think it, once I heard that firm wanting to come in, the people wanting to come in, kind of got me excited. And at the end of the day, in my opinion, even though I have three small kids at home, and I did when I had the pandemic, I just find it very boring. Like, it's just very boring. I don't get to see Howard Rubin for lunch. I don't get to go to one of many good restaurants for lunch if I needed to on a Friday, just to kind of take staff people. Like, you can't do that. I guess you could do that, but it's not like being in the city where, the streets are vibrant and electric. You're in suburbia. Most likely you have to go in your car to grab a salad somewhere, or you do one of these DoorDash, which I've never done. I really trust it. You know, I don't trust it. I feel like I don't know who this person is that's bringing me this food. But that's my thing. But so you would have to do that. And you kill like an hour trying to just pick something up and you don't really know what to eat. Here in the city, you have a lot of options. And I just wouldn't trade it for anything, in my opinion.
Well, Sal, I certainly we're of a like mind. And so maybe we're old fashioned or something. I don't know what it is, but I think
we're a minority. Years on me, Hal.
Well, yeah, but we're kind of, in terms of the thinking, you know, you got an old man's thinking, I think.
I think you're
old school.
Yes,
you know?
Old school.
You're old school. And, you know, I kind of see the world as you do. And then and I'm hopefully that pendulum is going to swing back. And, you know, and we'll all be able to go back to a world where we connect and we meet and we do things in groups and have less screen time. I'm tired of the screen time. You say you have two screens. I'm still holding out. I'm one of the few people I know that just have one screen.
That's tough to go
back. That's tough. Yeah, I know. That's what people tell me. That's why I'm not going.
Well, in the office, so in the office, I have three screens. And at home I have two screens, but then I use my laptop. So as an accountant, it's better. I'm sure lawyers as well, but not because you have like the spreadsheet on one, then you have the trial balance on the other screen. So kind of you're able to see both things while you're able to look at your emails too. So that's really the third.
What screen. Industries do you think have profited the most? Have become more profitable because of COVID?
Personally, I think the accounting business. I think the accounting business because we were able to pivot. We were able to work from home. Government assistance was like tremendous. Right. It still is. Everybody needed help. I think the accounting business, the staffing business as well. Mm. Staffing did a great – in the beginning, not so much. But then when people found that they needed to find people because it was very tough to replace them, well, they got rid of people because they didn't know what was happening. Then they needed temporary help or whatever. Staffing business did well. Accounting business did well. Construction – although they were at a point in time, they were shut down. The government assistance helped, but most of those contracts that they were in the middle of had to get done too. So that kept on going. Now they're feeling a little bit of a lull, but I think those are the three major categories that I think I know for sure the accounting business we did pretty well.
Does the not that much manufacturing in the United States, but to the extent that there was manufacturing, you think they've been hurt by this? It's become a bigger problem.
That's interesting. I mean, wholesale distributors like that buy stuff from overseas to bring.
Right.
I have a chair distributor. I mean, during the pandemic, everybody's working from home. So the chair business, I think it depends on the industry. I think apparel did well because people were working from home.
Right.
So I think it needed, I think in the beginning, everybody was like shocked that it was shut down that quick. But then once everybody kind of figured things out, I think they kind of like felt like, you know, to kind of figure they were doing okay. And then when you also spread up, you know, government assistance on top of that and PPP, they were doing great. But it got to a point where they got a little spoiled, right? They got a little spoiled. And now all of a sudden, now they got no more government assistance. And that's a common question. Is there any more free money?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no, I think a lot of those programs have ended. And now it's time to kind of like.
Well, if you contact Citroen Coop, maybe they can find a few dollars under the under the bed cushions for
thank you.
They got some programs
you.
There.
Thank you. Thank
so,
you.
Sal, we're gonna wrap up now. But if our listeners or companies want to contact you, can you give them the best way to contact you?
Yeah. Yep. So I'm located at 50 Rockefeller Center. You can either reach me on my telephone, 212-697-1000, extension 1224, or you can email me where I'm always on, sal@citrincooperman.com.
And probably should spell Citroen Cooperman.
CITRINCOOPERMAN.com.
What's
Citroen,
that?
Not Citron. We're not the alcohol.
I know. That's why
Citroen.
Sure. That's why you had to spell it. Anyway, Sal, it's been a pleasure. I think it's been a really interesting conversation, and I hope we can have lunch together in person, not virtually. And I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I really appreciate it.
Okay.